international market. The ruling resulted in a one-year moratorium being placed on whale hunting in the Southern Ocean by the Japanese government. That moratorium did not apply to other Japanese whaling efforts, such as the northwestern Pacific Ocean. Japan also announced a new whaling season for the Pacific, which begins tomorrow and is scheduled to run through late August.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jimmy Tardy, Catherine Maticek, Sarah Swetsoff, and Joe Aaron. The producer is Galen Sanford. Special thanks to our engineer, Jimmy Tardy. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Janka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! News magazine hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 o'clock, it's Voices from the Edge, progressive talk radio from a grassroots perspective, hosted by Joanne Hardesty. At 9, hear Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, hosted by Teresa Mitchell. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, local news hosted by Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, host Lisa Loving speaks with Stacey Wakefield about her novel, The Sunshine Crust Baking Factory, a story about how urban homesteaders lived without plumbing or electricity and how they managed their semi-legal status and what they cared about and fought for. At 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists hosted by S.W. Conzer and Bill Dodge. Thank you for listening to KBOO, and thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can still become one right now by visiting our website, kboo.fm, and clicking on Donate Today. Stay tuned now for a live interview conducted by KBOO reporters.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Yes, it is Wednesday, about quarter to the hour, so you might be expecting news from the BOO, but we will not be presenting that today. Instead, we are doing KBOO News In Depth. Yesterday, a Seattle social justice group called the Raging Grannies staged an elaborate lockdown at the Port of Seattle in order to protest Shell Oil Company's plan to drill in the Arctic. Shell's drilling rig is currently anchored in the Port of Seattle, with plans to depart in the near future. Tuesday's action, which resulted in 5 arrests, is just the latest in a series of direct actions, including a flotilla of kayaks in April that tried to block the Shell Oil drilling machinery from entering the Port of Seattle. We'll have an interview with one of the Raging Grannies in a few minutes, but first, we're going to go to an interview from Peace Paradigm Radio with Eric Ross from the Backbone Campaign about the flotilla action and the campaign known as Shell No.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on right now in Seattle with the Shell No campaign, if you can just spend a little time describing what is going on.
Sure thing. So I work with Backbone Campaign. We are a progressive movement building organization that specializes in what we call artful activism. I can speak about that later. We are part of a spokes council, a group of affinity groups composed of 350 Seattle, Rising Tide Seattle, Bayan, a Filipino solidarity organization, the Raging Grannies, which is elders who do a lot of music for the movement, as well as several other organizations. And right now, we are battling Shell's plans to bring their Arctic destroying rigs to the Chukchi Sea and explore for more oil there.
So, and now, what? How are you doing this? And, you know, what is, if you know, to give people kind of a picture, tell us what's going on. Like, so you're battling, is this, what does it look like?
Well, right now, it's very colorful and very punny, as Michael noted. So, Shell once tried to explore for oil in the Chukchi Sea before, back in 2012, and it was a disastrous plan where one of their rigs came undone from their towing vessels and actually grounded on the shores up in Alaska and had to be bailed out by the Coast Guard. They also racked up about eight felony charges and didn't properly report contaminations that had taken place. And actually, the interesting thing about their departure from Alaska, there was a major move of tax avoidance. They are trying to avoid about $9 million in taxes by leaving there by such a date, and they encountered 25-foot waves and were totally unprepared. So we'd like that not to happen again. The waters up there provide really important grounds to sustain people who live up there, the indigenous people, fishing grounds. And the study that by a government, the agency, the federal government agency that issued the permit showed that there would be a 75% chance of an oil spill if any exploration took place up in the Arctic. And additionally, we already know that we can't burn the amount of fossil fuels that we currently have, so it's senseless to explore for more. So we've mounted a campaign here to prevent Shell from bringing its rigs up to the Arctic. And so far, we've launched a 30-foot inflatable blimp calling for a flotilla. We've successfully won a number of public officials to our side who have made it quite clear that Shell is violating the wishes of Seattle and residents beyond by parking their rigs here and staging grounds for that Arctic destruction. And we've organized trainings of kayaktivists, as the Stranger newspaper called us, where we've trained over 200 people, many of whom had never kayaked before, and organized a paddle in Seattle. It was a flotilla with hundreds of people out in the water, shaking our paddles at Shell, and as well as a shutdown of Shell's operations on land at the terminal where they were parked. One of the important things to note that all this is one particular battle. It's an extension of a long history of colonialism and environmental racism. The extraction and exploitation of resources of people and the land whose lives depend upon. We've seen this throughout history. In fact, our country is founded on it. And we stand in solidarity with the people engaged in over 500 years of resistance. Whether that's, you know, Ken Saro-Wiwa, who was assassinated in collusion, or Shell colluded with the local Nigerian government to end his life, who was resisting there. Or the people up in Alaska who've had to bear the brunt of the oil spills up there, or people in the Philippines whose lands are literally being engulfed by rising ocean levels due to catastrophic climate change.
That was Eric Ross from the Backbone Campaign speaking about the Paddle in Seattle flotilla action to oppose shell drilling in the Arctic. Yesterday, five grannies ranging from 60 to 92 years old brought their rocking chairs, their knitting, and photos of their grandchildren to the port entrance and chained themselves together in a creative blockade. KBOO's Sarah Swetsoff spoke with Cynthia Linnett, a self-described proud member of the Raging Grannies who participated in this action.
Cynthia, can you tell us some more about the blockade you staged yesterday?
The blockade, amazingly, was a success. We got there with rising tide, Seattle rising tide, and help from some Portland rising tide members who came up specifically to support the group. We had three areas where participants locked down. The grannies were in rocking chairs, and we were chained to our chairs and chained to each other's chairs. And four of us had arm lock boxes in which we hooked into a tube-shaped box so that if anybody tried to get us out, they would have to saw it. And we got there at 6 o'clock. We were very surprised. There were no police there. Every day up until that time, there were major displays of police. And for some reason, I guess they thought that all the demonstrations were over, and there was nobody there, not even one policeman or police squad car. And so we got out of our vans and cars, and within, I think it was less than 2 minutes, the grannies were on the tracks in their rockers and chained to each other and connected to the lock boxes. It took the police about 40 minutes before I guess they realized that we were there. And then we were bombarded with a massive display of police. It was shocking that there were so many. There were at least 15 police cars who descended on us poor little old grannies. They didn't know quite what to do. They stayed around. They finally convinced the two other groups to unlock or they would go to jail. Because they had succeeded in what they had wanted to do in that they had blocked the workers from coming to work for that shift. So the shift was already ongoing, and the police told them that they would be arrested if they didn't unlock. So they unlocked. But when they came to the grannies refused to do that. We were going to force them to break the technical equipment and take us to jail if need be.
And activists plan to blockade the port of Seattle throughout the rest of the month to maintain these blockades and actions in order to deter Shell's rig from departing for the Arctic.
We've had a lot of demonstrations in the past few weeks. Our goal is to stop them from going to the Arctic. It is our understanding that there is no fossil fuel industry at the present who is willing to go back to the Arctic because it's such a treacherous place. And there isn't any certainty that they would not have a major catastrophe up there. So Shell seems to be the only one now that is determined, and they're 30-story rig they've spent over $6 billion on and seem determined. We've had many demonstrations. We've had kayak flotillas, but we're like fleas on a giant bull. Nothing seems to move them. And nothing seems to move our port commissioners either. We had a meeting with the port commission yesterday after the demonstration, the blockade, And the commissioners were very cowardly and left the room when people started complaining about wanting to talk about the issues. And then there was a large presence of police kicking us out of the commission's office. So it seems that Shell is very powerful here. Money really talks. And the fossil fuel industry in general, they did not come to saw us out of it. In fact, we thought they were going to let us stay there because the shift had already gone through its turnover, and there was really no point for them to get rid of us at that time, except that we were on the train tracks, and there were fossil fuel trains that wanted to come through. So we stopped the trains from coming through for almost 4 hours. But at that point, I guess the fossil fuel businesses, were angry enough to convince the police that they had to get us out of there. And so they kind of treated us with kid gloves, but they did take us to jail. They spent a lot of time sawing the lock boxes that we were in. They gave us these big plastic cloths to cover us so we wouldn't be sprayed with any of the fire that they were using to drill. And then they allowed our support team to come with us to the jail. We were only there a short time.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Raging Grannies as a group and your philosophy?
Well, the Raging Grannies are an international group. They started in Vancouver about 25 years ago. And we're about 30 women, older women, who are politically